Today, you know, the church invites us to reflect on the core mystery of our whole religion, that the eternal Son of God became man, and to look at the context in which God did this. So we have in the first reading the prophecy in Isaiah. About the virgin who will bear. Now, it was not a virgin, but the Alma, the young woman, the queen mother, will bear a son. But everybody knew that this prophecy, this word from the Lord, wasn't just for Achaz and his wife. And that's why it was preserved and carried down to us and part of the scriptures. Part of the whole word of the Lord that came to us through Isaiah. And that's the first reading, this promise that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And then, in the second reading, we have this text trying to help us understand it. He's basing himself on Psalm 40, a sacrifice, an offering you did not desire, and so forth. Behold, it is written of me in the book, I have come to do your will. And so he begins to reflect on what is the will of God. See, it's God's determination. But the mystery is that that determination has to take place here in our world through flesh. It's worked from the inside out. And so the will of God must exist, must have a human flesh body existence. And so the last lines of this text we have today, by this will, we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see, without a body, we cannot give God's will human existence. It's the whole meaning of the Eucharist. It's the body and blood of Christ that's here. And once again, in history, if you will, there is the act of love in which Jesus died, and there's Jesus fixed in that act of love, saying to us, take, eat, not just sit, think. That's very important. And by this will we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then in the gospel, I hope you get a chance to really ponder this today. There's no way to get it except that the Holy Spirit enlighten us. We all acknowledge that God became man, but what does that mean? And the overwhelming, incredible love that God would become man and in his own flesh give the will of God a human existence. And those of us who have touch with that will of God in and through the body of Christ, we have eternal life. All our sins are forgiven. Because we bring them to the blood of Christ to be washed. And in that will of God, and that, what is the will of God the Father? That everybody somehow be joined to this precious body, this precious flesh of Christ, and have eternal life. That's the whole point. So we have this text, this beautiful text, in the gospel. Gabriel comes and he says, Here ki karitomeni, rejoice, most favored one. It's not just hello, hail, it's rejoice. Now look at Zechariah, look at Zephaniah. Rejoice, Israel, behold your king, your savior is coming to you. Mary knows the scriptures. Pondered them. She's maybe 15. years old, that a mind in an immaculately conceived being, she knows what this is all about. And so she was greatly troubled by what was said. And she pondered, what kind of a greeting could this be? The angel said, do not be afraid, which is always the way an oracle from God announcing the birth begins. Al tira, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. God, the Father, is proposing a marriage between his son and the human race. And it will take place in the womb of this young Jewish girl. That's the proposal. And he waits for her answer. St. Bernard has this, you know, Mary, please say yes, the whole world is waiting. And God is waiting. You see, this is not an invitation to be a surrogate womb. This is an invitation to be a mother. And he waits. Isn't that awesome? But he waits for us. Unfortunately, he waits a long time. But here, you see, he waits. Now, he knew she'd say yes because he knew her. He was the one who created her and formed her and sanctified her from the womb, taught her. The Holy Spirit hovered over her. He knew she'd say yes, but he waited for the yes. It has to be free. It has to be free. Now, if we get a chance today, pray. You know, today is Monday, so we have the first mystery of the rosary today is the Annunciation. Pray and say to her, Mary, can you give me some idea of the way you said yes? And then identify my spirit with your own. Can you imagine what that yes was like? The spiritual power, she said yes. And opened herself up to this whole mystery of the Incarnation, including the suffering on the cross. Yes. When we hear her say that yes, it's clear that she's immaculately conceived. Nobody, held back by even the slightest taint of sin, could say a yes like that. Her whole being, yes. That's the grace she wants to give to us. Now, we are held back by sin, by stupidity, by all kinds of stuff. But if we pray today, yes. Father, whatever your will is for my life, yes. Then we perpetuate this mystery of the Incarnation. And in our flesh, the will of God begins to live. And if the will of God is at work in our flesh, then God can work in this world. I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. And that's the invitation. But first, we have to catch on. We have to get it. We have to watch her say yes and ask her to please come and show me what that's like. So that this awesome, that God became man, that God saved us by suffering in that body for us. And it all hangs on this yes. But what hangs on the yes is not caused by Mary, it's caused by Almighty God himself.